of announcements, saints, as we bask in his presence for a second. Amen. Just wanted to say that the new members class was awesome this past Wednesday that we had it. Amen. And woo, we got a bunch of people to join. And on Sunday, I'm going to ask them to stand up and we can give them an official welcome on Sunday. But everything went well last Wednesday. It's a regular week in Philly, and so we will be having prayer Thursday night, amen, and we're going to talk, well, okay, we're not going to have a meal this Thursday either, amen. We got to just set it up. It's been real busy, hallelujah, and so that's why we hadn't been able to put our hands on it, but God's going to get the glory, amen. Flag football sign-up is still on, amen. We need coaches. We need men who are crazy enough to play, amen. And we also need, and I just want to put this out there, we're going to need some refs, amen, referees, amen. So maybe you don't want to play, amen, but you can call a game. You can learn the rules from Frankie and maybe Deacon Cardell, and you can come out and help us, amen, and call some penalties on the team that I'm playing against, amen. And I'm just joking, but you know what I'm saying? But we're going to need some coaches. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me put on my glasses over here. I think that's, let me see. Yeah, G-Money saying yeah. All right, we're going to need some coaches. We're going to need some refs. And we're going to need some players. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Another special shout out to our brother Earl Singleton. Amen. And the play that went on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know if they're here tonight. If y'all here, just kind of wave your hands up. Amen. Let me see. Come on, stand up so we can give God some praise for y'all. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Miss Carla, hallelujah. You did an awesome job. Hallelujah. Glory. Who else y'all have here? What's up, Desi? Stand up, Desi, if you don't mind. Amen. All 6'5" of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, we had a good time, y'all. Y'all did a terrific job, amen. It sure was better than going to pay some money at some movie or something like that with some old trashy movie. And so we praise God for that, amen, hallelujah. And you got to be careful because some of the same people that's going to talk about your production going to go down there and rent a rated R movie and not going to say nothing, amen. So, Philly, don't be no hypocrites, amen. Don't be no hypocrite, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to enjoy what the Lord is doing through our Hebrew brother. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. All right. So listen, we're going to get cranked up and look at 2 Samuel chapter 16. And we'll start at verse 15. And I'm going to just be honest with you. We got a lot to cover. So y'all pray for me. Amen. I'm going to try my best to move through this because I want to cover, amen, all the way down to verse 23. And some people saying, Pastor, it's never going to happen. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. Hallelujah. But I just want to warn you, that's what I'm shooting for. If we don't get to it, amen, we may cover one verse. But listen. We're going to try our best because this first verse is going to be the longest verse. And then we're just going to kind of flow on through it after that. So come on, look with me at 2 Samuel 16, starting at verse 15. The Bible says, "And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, Is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, Nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, Give counsel among you what we shall do. Now, this is going to be a little tough, but I'm going to read through it. Amen. And if we have to teach it tonight, you got my word that we're going to keep it as clean as we can. Amen. But God put it in the Bible. All right? And you would not rather your kids learn it from anywhere else and in any other place but in a Christian environment. All right? A lot of Christians not keeping it real with their kids. That's why their kids green. That's why when the world come after their kids, they're so surprised by it. But God put real things in the Bible, y'all, so that when real things happen to us, we're going to know where to go to get a real answer, amen, from a real book and a real God, amen? All right, let's look at what the Bible says. Let's look at what the Bible says, all right? And Ahithophel then said, Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he had left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired of the oracle of God. So all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Father, we pray, O King, that you would give us wisdom, the wisdom of Christ, and that you would allow us to cut this word so right, Daddy, that your people would be blessed forever by it, Daddy. Not only the adults, but also the kids, Lord God. That we would never play the Absalom, never play the Ahithophel, that we might learn some things from your word. For you said these things were written aforetime for our admonition. So help us not blush and bat our eye at it. For the same ones who would judge me for bringing a real word will go out there to the cinema and watch 50 Shades of Grey. So Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, bless us now, King, to deal with your word correctly here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Can I keep it real with him, babe? Can I keep it real with you? Well, let's get real up in here. All right? We've been studying 2 Samuel, saints, and we've noticed that David's son stole his kingdom. David leaves the city, not wanting to subject the city to siege warfare. And so he leaves, he flees, he's running from Absalom instead of going through a drawn-out war with his own son to destroy the infrastructure of his own city. So we've been talking about David's flight, and we've been talking about how people stood up for David. Ittai came, and his Gentile friend said he would never leave David's side. Zadok came, wanting to roll with David as well. But remember, David told him, go bring the ark and everything that's with the ark, the Urim and the Thummim. Go back into the city with these things. How in the world is Israel going to make it without the things of God there? So David is very unselfish in doing that. We talked about Zadok, who carried the ark back. We talked about Hushai, who would let David know what was going on in the kingdom. Somebody say Hushai. That's right. Hushai was the one that would, hallelujah, let David know what was going on and defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. We talked about Ziba and his lie. We talked about how David acted rashly against Mephibosheth. We talked about Shimei and how Shimei cursed at David and threw stones while David's men surrounded him and covered him. And we talked about Abisha, how Abisha wanted to knock Shimei's block off. Y'all remember that, y'all? He said, just let me go, David. Let me go. Hey, God, he won't know I cut his neck off till he sneezed. Amen? But David told Abisha, let him curse. Y'all remember that? And David said, let him curse for a few reasons. It's from the Lord. Number one, I have bigger fish to fry. Number two, and I've been through worse. And not only that, God, if he sees it, just might requite me good for the cursing that Shimei does. Tonight, saints, we're going to continue and pick up in verse 15. And the title of tonight's message is this, bad counsel. Somebody say bad counsel. And hopefully we'll get through 15 to 23. We're going to have 3 points tonight. Number one is Absalom came to Jerusalem. Number two is Hushai, David's friend. And number three is Ahithophel's counsel. Let's begin with our first point. Absalom came to Jerusalem. Verse 15, the Bible says, "And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him." Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. So here we have David running for his life. But in the meanwhile, Absalom is entering into the royal city. David is running for his life, and Absalom is entering the city of the king. He's entering the city of God. He's entering, amen, the city that they call the city of David. And I'm talking about none other than Jerusalem. And he's bringing Ahithophel with him. So you got Absalom, Ahithophel, and he has a gang of unrighteous people with him. A gang of wicked people with him. And they are the ones that's entering into the royal city. Here we have David, the man after God's own heart, in the wilderness, getting cursed at by Shimei and Absalom and his wicked entourage entering the royal city. The gates open up to him without a fight. There's no opposition. He comes in and becomes king of Israel, and he does this easily, saints. I bet it was more easy than anyone expected that somebody would take the royal city, that somebody would take and capture Jerusalem. He did this easily. I bet, friends, that it even surprised Absalom, you know? I bet he was expecting a battle against his daddy, but he walked right in. It seems as though God was with Absalom because he got the victory, because he was blessed, and it happened without a fight. Matthew Henry says that God suffers wicked men to prosper for a while, even beyond their own expectations. I'm trying to tell you that we have to be careful, saints. We got to be careful because we go through seasons in life. And sometimes we can go through a season where nothing is working out for us. But then we look to the side of us, Brandon, and we see the wicked prospering. We see the wicked walking in the royal city while we scratching and begging and living check to check and fighting for our very own lives. And we look at the people next door who not living for God, not trying to obey God. Some of them don't even believe in God. Others of them blaspheme God. But all their bills are paid. They got a nicer car than you, living in a nicer house than you. Amen. Anybody hear me up in here? Absalom is moving in to the royal city. The wicked. The wicked. And saints, let's be real. It's hard when you're trying to do right and the wicked right on the side of you doing better than you. Come on, let's keep it real for a second. All right? And you're going to come to seasons like that in your life. You're going to come to seasons like that. All right? And some of us doing good in here. I'm not going to deny that. But you know they got wicked people doing better than even you. Let's keep it real for a second. So you will come to seasons which it appears that the wicked are being more blessed than you. You know? But I got five words, the devil is a liar. Amen? That sometimes things are not actually what they appear. You see? It's just a season. Now, sometimes this occurrence can be hard on us, y'all. Very hard to reconcile. What we know that the book says and what we actually see with our eyes going on, J. Malvo, it can be hard to reconcile that. You know? Look like that boy marriage doing good. And he never go to church. You see? Here I am. I'm doing A, B, and C, Crystal, just like the Bible said. And I'm not getting a D. Here, these folks not doing nothing. And they getting D, E, 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 F, G, H, I, G, K, L, M, N, O, P. Psalm 73 talks about it. In Psalm 73, David is saying, I know God is good. I know he's good. And I know he's good to me. He says in 73:2, but as for me, my feet was almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. The psalmist says, I know God is good, y'all, and he is good to me. But I saw something that almost made me lose my religion. He said, I almost slipped. My feet was almost gone. I almost left my church. And more than leaving my church, I almost left the faith. I almost stopped serving God. I almost stopped believing God. I almost lost my way. I almost fell off, Brother Carl, is what he's saying. Well, sweet psalmist, what happened? What made you almost fall off? I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Come on, somebody. Anybody hear me up in here? What almost made him fall off was he saw the wicked being blessed. He saw, as though it were, Absalom going in the city while the David is in the wilderness getting cursed at and thrown stones at. The psalmist says, I was envious. That means I was jealous. I wanted what I saw they had. I was jealous. I wondered why they had it and I didn't have it. I was jealous. I looked at what they had and then what I had, amen, and what I had didn't make me feel good. Everything that they had shined and all my stuff wasn't shiny like theirs. Everything they had was new and my stuff was used. What they had was 2018 and what I had was 1965. What they had was granted and all I had was for Michael. What they had was... I was jealous, he said. And who was I jealous at? I was jealous at the foolish. Now, that's a foolish thing to be jealous at the foolish. Pastor, who's the foolish? Well, the Bible says the fool had said in his heart that there's no God. He's jealous of atheists. He's jealous of people who say there's no God. Huh? An unbeliever is a foolish person. Huh? A lost person is a foolish person. The Bible say the beginning of wisdom, amen, is the fear of the Lord. So somebody who don't live like they fear in God is foolish. So David is looking at all the foolish, the unbelievers, the atheists, the ones that's not obeying God, not living for God, not going to church, not serving God. And he's looking at them and their life and all the things they had and he's jealous of them. First thing, you should never be jealous of an unbeliever. All right? Especially because of his stuff. All right? You know why? Because all his stuff put together cannot compare to what you really have. Amen? Anybody hear me up in here? I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold, than houses or land, than riches untold. It don't matter what he have, Brother Keith. Hallelujah. You see? I'd rather have Jesus. For what would it gain and profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his soul? My soul is safe with my Redeemer. What I got to be jealous of him for? Secondly, why are you going to be jealous of him when it's just not your season yet? When your season is coming, the blessing is here. Though it tarry, it shall surely come. The Lord had given you promises. He's promised you to seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things going to be added to. What in the world are you jealous when he just received his package before you got yours? But yours is on the way. And in fact, your package may very well be bigger than his. How foolish would that be, Mark? Huh? You jealous at this man TV when your TV, which is bigger, is on the way. You get your TV plus God. Hey, God. Come on now. Why? Why should we be jealous? Why should we be jealous? He said, I was jealous, envious of the foolish. But what happened? He said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You see, the first problem was that he was looking at it too much. He said, when I saw it. You see, because when you're looking across the street, you can't really appreciate what you got in your own house. You know what I'm saying? That's why the Bible tells us to run our race, to finish our course. Because what we have in the time that we're in is good for us. You know, you can get out your lane worried about somebody else. Run your race. So he kept looking across the street. He kept peeking over the fence. He kept looking from his angle, and the grass seemed greener than on the other side. When he would just, if he would just water his grass, huh? If he just water his grass, huh? I heard a wise person say that the other day. Listen to me now. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. What prosperity? Well, verses 4-7 kind of give it to us, but I'm going to move fast. He said, the wicked live free lives. They're not bound. He said, they're healthy. They're pain-free. They're trouble-free, some of them. They have more than their very eyes could wish for on earth. Sometimes they have it so good, it appears that when they die after living a good life, they even have good funerals, David is saying. The psalmist is saying. Live a wicked life and some foolish preacher going to get up there and talk about how they went to heaven. And how they was a good person. The psalmist says, I was envious. I saw their prosperity. Everything in life seemed good to them. And even some of them had good funerals. You know? And it's going all well in verse 9 and 73 says, it's going well when they do this. They set their mouth against the heavens. They blaspheme the Most High. And you know, I can't help but to think about the Ashkenazis, the people that jack out our identity. How they seem to own everything. Whether it be the TV, the casinos, whether it be the movies, whether it be the movie industry, whether it be the music industry, whether it be the pharmaceutical industry, whether it be the car industry. Yeah, you got a car, but they make the cars. You understand what I'm saying? And it looked like they blasphemed the Most High because in their Talmud, they talk about how Jesus is boiling in hot excrement. And so they blaspheme him. Their tongues are set against the heaven. And how could you be doing all of this and still have all of that? You can be tempted to be envious. In verse 12, he says, behold, these are the ungodly. That's them. Who prosper in the world. And as they do wrong, some of them, y'all, put not the worst music, put not the worst movies. While they do that, they do what? They increase in riches. The psalmist says, man, in verse 13, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. And what he's saying is that all the work that I do, Miss Bridget, to keep my heart pure, all the work I do to keep my hands clean, all the struggle and the labor to stay away from sin and certain things as I watch these wicked people like Absalom ride into the city with no struggle, no strength, and be blessed, you got to ask yourself sometimes, am I doing this all for nothing? Don't you act like you ain't thought about that before. So this is Absalom. Killed his own brother. Betrayed his own daddy. Coup d'etat, took the throne from his daddy. And he's prospering by riding freely in the city. Before we leave point one, we got to answer the question. It's a deep theological question. Why does God allow people like Absalom to prosper? Number one, repentance. Repentance. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans 2 and verse 24, I despise you the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. A lot of the ways that God will deal with an unbeliever, amen, is to love them into the kingdom. He'll be good to them, saints. He make his rain and his sun, amen. He make his rain to fall on the good and the wicked. He make his sun to shine on the righteous and the immoral. And God is doing all of those things to show his goodness. And he's hoping one day that men will see his goodness and wake up and say, why am I not serving God? He's been so good to me. I want to tell you that his goodness and his love is what actually won me. You know what I'm saying? when I heard how he had died for my sins, when I heard how he suffered and he bled, and how he made a way out of nowhere, his love for me, his goodness to me, turned my heart so that I could believe. And as we watch wicked men still breed upon a planet where they curse God, as we watch wicked men, amen, hallelujah, have food to eat, amen, and they declare that he don't exist, God is just hoping, y'all, that one day that they would get a revelation that while they are enemies with God, it's their enemy that's feeding them and keeping them alive. I don't know who's here today. And maybe that's your story today. You're not saved. You're only in here because you lost a bet. Or you wanted to come see what they was giving out free, because they could not have all these cars at this building if they're not giving nothing free. Huh? And I got news for you. We are giving away something free. Actually, it's the best gift that you could ever receive. It's the gift of salvation. It's the knowledge that a holy God, an independent God, an inexhaustible God who does not need us at all, came down from heaven to earth and endured the blasphemy and the insults of sinful men, was spit on, whipped, put on a wooden cross at Calvary. He was pierced, he was insulted, and he died as a sacrifice for every single one of your indiscretions, every single one of your iniquities, and every single one of your transgressions. And he did it for you, not while you were serving him. He did it for you while you was living wretched in the streets. While you was his enemy. You see? And we love the scripture, greater love had no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. But what you need to know was that you wasn't his friend to begin with. And I need you to know tonight that if a man came and pushed you out of the way of a truck and saved your life, you would feel endeared to that man. You would say, I can't believe you just saved me and you risked your own life. How much more to a God who gave his life when he didn't have to do it? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So God allows the wicked to prosper sometimes to show his goodness so that they can repent. Secondly, he allows them to prosper for judgment. For judgment. You see, if they don't repent, then God's going to use those same blessings to judge them. And Matthew Henry says this, God suffers the wicked to prosper for a while, for a season, for a time, that their disappointment, their fall, may be more grievous and more disgraceful. What that means, he only lifts you up, ha, 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 so everybody could see you. He only made Absalom king, lift him up, ha, 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 so everybody can see him, all right? And he did that for the first reason, repent. You see how good I'm being to you. I don't have to do this. Repent. But if you don't, he's going to use that same height to crush you when he bring you down. Anybody hearing me up in here? All right? All right? What you mean by that, Pastor? Well, he's not going to wait for you forever. All right? And sooner or later, he's going to use you as an example. He's going to lift you high so everybody can see. Then he's going to bring you down quickly so everybody can learn not to play with the Most High God. All right? And Psalm 37, verse 1 teaches us this. Can I be real with you for a second? Because you got some people not serving God and they doing God. You have movie stars. Amen. Angelina Jolie say, I have no need of God. Look how good I'm doing. I have no need of him. But what you don't know, if you don't repent and get to him in time, if you don't call upon him while the blood still run warm in your vein. Look, we've all seen it, y'all. Haven't y'all seen the movie stars and the rappers and the artists be so high? Be so high on the hog, high on their horse, only to crash and burn and crumble for everybody to see. The psalmist says in 37:1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't worry about evildoers. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. Do not be jealous of people that do evil. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Don't worry about them. Don't be jealous of them. It's only for a season to get them to repent. But if they don't repent, you're going to look for them and you ain't going to find them one day. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Right? Psalm 37:3 tells us what we should do. Don't worry about Absalom going in the kingdom. Don't make that get you to not stop to stop serving God. And Psalm 37:3 says, no, you, when you see the wicked prospering, what you do? Trust in the Lord and do good. One day, this is going to happen. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. All right, listen to me. You might not have everything they have, but one thing is going to be for sure. You're going to be fed. Because in this same chapter, the psalm, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Keep doing what you're doing, baby. God has got you. Come on, give God some glory. Not only keep doing what you're doing, but as you watch the wicked do wickedness, amen, it should not, hallelujah, stop you from doing good. Verse 3 say, keep doing good. Verse 4 say, take it to another level. Hallelujah. When you see him doing evil, don't, hallelujah, draw back in your goodness. No, keep doing good. And you know what? Go ahead and take it to another level. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he shall what? He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, saints, can God lie? Do you believe this promise tonight? You see how you're here at Bible study at night? When you could be watching TV or you could be doing something else? What you're doing tonight is delighting yourself in the Lord. You're delighting yourself in his word. You see? And this is not the quickest church that you can go to Bible study at. You can go to a little microwave popcorn church. You can go to the fast food. You can go there and they'll get you out of there in 15 minutes with a 20-minute sermon. And I'm telling you what God loves right here. But you done come to the church that probably preached the longest Bible study in the city. All right? All right, Miss Karen? Either you love the Lord or you crazy. I don't know which one it is. All right? So, Miss Angela, what's happening is we are delighting ourselves in him. Sure, we can get out of here faster if we want. But you know when you love someone, you delight yourself in something? You're not so ready to go when you delight yourself in something. You're not looking for an excuse to get out or not show up. No, I delight to be here. I wouldn't rather be in any other place. For better is one day in your presence than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, Clyde, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I want to be where you are. Yes. Keep doing good. Keep living for God, and it will pay off. It will pay off. To my brothers in the street, it's going to pay off. It might be slow, but the blessings of God are for sure. All right? All right? I got to get hood with him for a second. Y'all, hold on. It might be hard, but with the blessings of God, you will not pick up a charge. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? For his blessings, amen, they added no sorrow. All right? I just got to break it down in a way that they can hear me for a second. It might be lesser pay, my brother. But when the cops come, they can't take it away, my brother. Anybody hear me up in here? So you could hustle, you could sell drugs, you could do it illegal. Amen. But in a moment, it can all be taken away from you. All right? Back to Psalm 73:17. All right? David says, I almost lost it, y'all. My feet had almost slipped. I almost lost my faith. In verse 17, he say, until. You see, I was going this way until something happened. Huh? There was an interception of the enemy's plot on my life. Something until something happened. Hmm? Somehow someone intervened on my way down of almost losing, of almost backsliding, of almost forsaking the Lord. Something happened to stop, amen, my descent. What happened? He said, until I went unto the sanctuary of God. I had almost lost it. I was jealous of them people. I was wondering if I was living for God for nothing. And then all of a sudden, I didn't really want to go, but I went anyway. I went anyway because mama told me to go, so I went. I wasn't feeling like going. Didn't want to hear nothing that the preacher had to say, but I went. Amen. I just don't feel right on Sunday since I don't go, so I went. Amen. And you gotta come to church, amen, because you never know, hallelujah, when your until Sunday going to be, when you're going down and then an until happening. And for somebody, this Bible study going to be an until, amen. I was about to give up. I almost let go. Feel like I couldn't take life anymore. The devil had me down. You see? Yeah, until. That's why you got to come to church. Don't play that skipping Sunday and skipping Bible. Don't play that stuff, man. That's where the devil wants you at. He's trying to stop the until in your life. Because for some, every Sunday is an until Sunday. Huh? You see, I was on my way down until I went to the sanctuary, the house of my God. And something happened in the house. David don't tell us what happened, but we could guess what happened. Because in the house, worship happens in the house. I began to praise him. I began to stop looking at my circumstances and magnifying the Christ. And sometimes in worship, like David says, if you will come and magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. Sometime in worship, you can sing about God and your perspective is renewed and restored and reshaped. And you get a proper perspective of how small your problems are and how big your God is. He said, hey, until I went to the sanctuary, then I understood. I don't know when he got the revelation. It could have been in worship. Huh? It could have been during offering time. Because how many people know that when you give an offering to the Most High God, when you're in need, one of the best times to sow a seed is when you're in need. And a lot of people get a blessing from the Most High when they get, it could have been offering time. Not just worship or offering, it very well could have been during the word. David sat in the sanctuary, and the man of God got up there. In the very word that David needed to hear on that day. Woo! The man of God opened his mouth, and it seemed as though God was speaking to David, to the psalmist himself. Beginning to talk about the prosperity of the wicked. And began to explain, hey, God, how much better off we were than the wicked. Could have been during worship. Could have been during offering. Could have been during the word. Could have been, hallelujah, during fellowship. This is just coming to me as I'm going. Because we not only come to church for the word and for worship. Way down on the list, we come to church to fellowship with one another. The Bible says don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. And you'd be surprised how much good you could do a saint that's going through. After worship, after the church, when everybody leaving out of church, or you just hug them and tell them I'm glad to see you. Or you look at them and tell them trouble don't last always. Or you go to them and say, man, I've been looking at you. I wanted to get your number so we can fellowship. Amen. I don't know what it was that happened when David went to the sanctuary. It could have been a plethora of different things. And I'm praying at Philadelphia that all these things could be happening in our sanctuary every time we get together. Why don't you talk to somebody you never met before? Why don't you reach out and hug somebody? Why don't you smile at somebody and stop mean mugging? This ain't that type of church. Why don't you give somebody a good word, huh? Why don't you encourage somebody and stop trying to tear everybody down? You always got something bad to say about everything that people do. When was the last time you did something? I find that the people on the bench always talk about the people that's in the game. When in the world you going to begin to be a cheerleader? When you going to be an encourager? And begin to build some people up. My God. It could have been an encourager met David on that day, saints. He got a word. You see, y'all come in here looking for a word from me. Y'all come in here looking to be ministered to. When in the world you gonna minister? When you gonna start having an eye for the people of God? When you gonna take your eyes off yourself? I just got a visual from the Holy Ghost. I just got mail, like I call it. Some of y'all walking in here with a mirror right in front of you. You ain't looking at nobody but yourself. You bumping into stuff. You ain't seen no other saint. You ain't seen that little girl that's thinking about aborting her baby. You ain't looking and you can't see that little boy that's struggling with a homosexual lifestyle. You can't see that child of God that can't pay their light bill. You can't see nothing because you're only looking at yourself. That's all you're looking at. And then they got others, John. They come with a big Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass. They're looking at everybody, but only the fault find. Only the criticize. They ain't trying to help nobody. You see, the closer you get to God, you realize how dirty you are. People that's high up don't talk about people like that. We don't fault find because we know that if God took a HDMI cable and plugged that thing up to your heart and plugged that to that sound booth and we projected the thoughts that's in your heart on that screen, we would all say that there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Almighty God. We'd be way merciful with each other. And we'd be looking to help each other and not hurt each other. David said, I had it mixed up, though, until I went to the sanctuary of my God. And somebody met me there. It might have been the worship team. It might have been that preacher. It could have been one of them regular, ordinary saints. He says, and then I understood. Therein. Verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. And what David learned when he went to church, what the psalmist learned when he went to the house of God, sure the wicked are blessed. Sure Absalom is riding to the city. Sure he's getting Jerusalem for now. He's high right now. But where he is without the Lord is a very slippery place. He's on ice right now. He's on a piece of concrete 1,000 feet high, and the concrete is soaked with oil. Thou hast set them in slippery places. And if they do not repent, verse 18 says, thou, that's God, castest them down into what? Into destruction. In a moment, judgment can come. And we're going to watch it, y'all, in the situation with Absalom. I can already see I'm not going to get to my second and third point. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord who decides his goings. I don't know. Maybe God wanted me to just dwell on this tonight. And so that's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? Maybe somebody needed a little bit of encouragement as they watch things go down in their life and go up in everybody else's life. You see? And don't you ever let that make you doubt your God, man. You know, God's going to come through for you. You just got to hold on. You just got to hold on. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, on their day, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not faint. See, walk and not faint. Run and not grow weary. Well, y'all know how it goes. Listen to me now. Listen to me. What David is trying to say, the psalmist is trying to say, the wicked, Brother Doug, they get higher. They get promoted, but they have no foundation. They have no footing. They have nothing that makes their elevation secure. All right? It reminds me of the house Jesus talked about. He said, two people build a house. Huh? Yeah, the wicked build houses too. He said, but one was founded upon sand, and the other was founded upon the rock. Huh? And the one that hear it and do it, the sayings of Jesus, that's the ones that's founded on the rock. But the wicked, like Absalom, the house is big and it's beautiful, but it's sand underneath them. And when the wind come, when the rain come, when the floods come, and those things come upon both houses. But the one that's on the rock is secure. Blessings that people can't take away. But the one that's built upon the sand fell. And the Bible says, and great was the fall of it. I won't submit to you today. Which house do you have? Huh? Are you allowing the world and Satan and wickedness to build blessings in your house? Huh? There's a hustler in here. A drug dealer in here right now. And yeah, you got a car. Got some chains and some watches. You got a little bling. Huh? Come on, let me talk to you now. Come on, you're in the house of God here now. But what you need to know, you're on slippery places. In a moment, man, listen, they'll grab you and you'll be right back at ground zero. And you would have wasted 10, 15, 20 years in the dope game to end up with nothing in one day. Why do that? When you can come in the house of the Lord, when you can serve God, when God could take them same talents and gifts that the devil using in you and actually make you a CEO somewhere, a business owner somewhere, and you ain't got to sell no drugs to do that. Don't you believe the devil saying, I'm a hustle till I get it, then I'm going to get out. You never going to get out if that's the case. He don't let his people out like that. You see? Slippery places. Thou cast them to destruction. What I see with that is, and I'm going to be talking about this a little bit Sunday. Huh? Meaning that you built all of this, and you have all of this, but you did it the wrong way. And when the destruction come, you end up with nada. Not Renata, but nada. Goose egg, nothing. All right? What does that mean? And I'll be talking about this on Sunday. You have nothing to leave for your children. Nothing for the next generation. But if you do it the right way, the Bible says that the righteous man, He leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Because you're not in slippery places. You're not doing nothing where they can come and take it all away from you. I'm going to talk about it Sunday, but I'm in a place in my life where I don't want to do it for me no more. Ooh! Nah, it's not about me. You know, I'm happy enough. But you got to get to a place where it's not for you no more. It's for people like your children or it's people around you that you love. It's actually for somebody besides you. I'm giving too much, babe. I'm giving too much. But you get to a place like that when you mature in life. We're going to talk about it. The original Hebrews knew something about generational. See, you still trying to do it for you. That's not enough motivation. Ooh, come on, keep going, Pastor. Don't keep going, Pastor. Keep going. We got to get out of here. Man, prophet. Woo! They're doing it just for them, man. And when you do it wrong, amen, it's all going to be taken away. And guess what? The ones you was trying to bless by living unright, they're going to have to pay for your funeral to bury you. Instead of leaving them with something, you're going to leave them with nothing. Because you didn't do it with the Lord. Verse 19 tells us this. How are they brought into desolation? In a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. And so Absalom moves into the city. He appears to be blessed and even more blessed than David, who is actually striving for right. No, David not perfect, but he's a man of God and he's striving for righteousness. Right? Absalom not even trying to serve God. But in this season, he's more blessed than the man of God. But it's only for a moment. It's all going to be taken away. And if he does not repent, verse 19 tells us that not only will his fall be in this life, but it's going to be a fall in another life. He's not only going to go into destruction in the material, physical, observable realm, but in the eternal, spiritual, everlasting realm. How are they brought down to desolation? In a moment. This speaks to me of hell, saints. Don't be envious of the wicked because what they have is only momentary. And if they don't repent, in the end, they're going to bust Sheol wide open. Without repentance, Absalom will lift up his eyes in torments. The Bible says they are utterly consumed with terrors. Listen, this is not even the point that I want to get to tonight. I'm so anxious to get to point three, it don't make no sense. But I got to teach it as it comes. Amen. So I pray to God that, amen, God will give us good health and long life, and you'll come back next Tuesday. Amen. Because this story is really amazing. And me and my wife going over it, we was trying to figure out a way that I could teach the whole thing tonight. And she was like, well, if you could cut this and we can do this, babe, I messed up. All right. She was trying to help me. I said, babe, I want to get to three. You know, we get to it. All right. We'll get to it. Listen to me. The moral of the story is this. All right. We all sinners, saints. All of us. We all do things that displease the Father. The way that I displease him is going to be different than the way that you displease him. But at the end of the day, we all displease him. But I wonder how many Absaloms we have in this place. People who displeasing them, but life is working out right now. Even appear like you getting blessed. Seem like you're doing wrong, amen, and nobody catching you. Nobody calling you out on it. Instead of going down like you think, you actually going up. But I want to tell you, unless you get right with God, you are only going up for a fall. Tonight, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I don't care how it look on paper, what your account say. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? If you're here today, God will save you right where you are. All you got to do is admit that you're a sinner. Tell God, I done messed up. I've done some things I'm not proud of. And then you go into believe mode. You admit, then you believe. What do I believe? I believe that he loves me. I believe that he died for me. And I believe that he rose again on the third day. And don't add nothing else to that belief. Just give that, your faith, pure faith, give that alone to God. Nothing else. You just tell God, I believe you. Now please save me. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That belief alone. Then you repent. You change your ways. You give up things. Especially things that the devil done gave you to build up a facade of success. You give that all up. And you say, God, I'm going to start with ground zero with you. Than to start in a penthouse with Satan. Now you build it, God. You build my life. You build my marriage. You build my ministry, God. I give myself away to you, God. I'm nothing without you. I need you. I seek you. I'm going to delight myself in you. Now you give me the desires of my heart. We admit and believe and we confess. The Bible tells us, thou shalt be saved. I'm going to pray with you and we're going to go. I don't want to go, but we got to go. We're going to pray and we're going to go. All right? Somebody got saved tonight. But Pastor, you ain't prayed yet. The prayer don't save them. The belief in the gospel saves them. Holy Ghost just told me that somebody got saved. Somebody just got saved in here. Just all we got to do is say it. It's the gospel that's the power. Anybody else want to get saved? Then pray. Pray with me. Pray with me, saints. Say, God, thank you for loving me. I'm sorry for my sins. I can't get it right. I admit all of my transgressions, but I believe in my heart that you love me just the way I am. Lord, save me, a sinner. You died on the cross for me. You were buried in the grave for me. You rose on the third day for me. And you're coming back for me. I confess that Jesus, Yeshua, is Lord. Now use me, Daddy. Fill me, Daddy. And build a life for me. As I delight myself in you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory, saints. Ha! I wanted so bad to get to point three. Y'all come back. I'm serious. We're going to talk about Ahithophel, and we're going to talk about Hushai. We're going to talk about bad counsel. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom, with peace. Woo! May nobody ever be able to touch you.
Amen.
Because God's going to fight your battles. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all, saints. Be blessed. In Jesus' name.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.